Good morning. I'm going to begin with an apology for the glare on my glasses. It's coming from my iPad. But I'm not going to worry about it. Are you worried about anything this morning? Some years ago, the Mayo Clinic stated that statistically, 80% to 85% of their total caseload were ill, either in reality or artificially, due directly to worry and anxiety. Many experts say that coping with stress is the number one health priority of our day. One leading physician has stated that, in his opinion, 70% of all medical patients could cure themselves if only they got rid of their worries and fears. Every week, 112 million people take medication for stress-related symptoms. Contrast that with the words of Jesus in Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34. Jesus said, "I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has its own trouble." The Greek word which is translated worry in the New Testament is a word which literally means to be drawn in different directions. Worry pulls us apart. Worry is trying to live in a place where you are not. In verses 25, 31, and 34 of the text we just read, Jesus said, "Do not worry," or "do not be anxious." This is a direct and specific prohibition of worry in all its forms. The Lord's concern over our worrying ways is ultimate. Jesus is not merely offering prudent counsel, he is issuing a command upon which our relationship to the Father hinges. In verse 25, Jesus is saying, "It is unnecessary for the children of such a father to fret and worry. He has already given you life and body. Will he not give you the rest?" Jesus points out that the Father cares for the creatures of the world. Will he not care for you? Verse 26. This is what is called a lesser to greater argument. Jesus said, if the Father cares for the inferior, the less important, will he not much more care for the superior, the more important? If the Father cares about the tiny creatures, are you honestly going to worry that he will not take care of you? You who are made in the very image of God? Jesus continues the lesser to greater reasoning in verses 28 through 30 as he points out that the Father provides for the temporary. The Father cares for even the plant world. Will he not care for that which will live throughout eternity? He cares for the flowers, the grass, the birds, and we, his very children, are worried that he won't care for and provide for us? Anxiety, distress, these are very natural responses to certain situations. It seems to be the human condition. Anxiety is defined as uncertainty about upcoming events or worry to the point of distress or disparity. I believe Christ is telling us that as children of a Heavenly Father who loves us, we need to believe, we need to trust how much He loves us. And that trust should give us confidence, confidence that He will take care of us. But if we let worry and anxiety gain a foothold in our hearts, and if we dwell on it and nurture it and feed it, and do not turn it over to God, I believe that's what Christ is talking about when He says, do not worry. Not only should we worry less, but we should pray more. Some people tend to think, why pray when I can worry? The mindset of the Lord's people should be, why worry when we can pray? We need to learn to pray our problems and our worries away. Whenever we start to worry, one question should immediately come to our minds. Have I prayed about this? Notice Paul's concise remedy for eliminating anxiety and worry in Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In 1 Peter 5, verse 7, the Apostle Peter tells us to cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. We have two choices. We can worry or we can pray. You can't do both simultaneously. You can't worry and pray at the same time. They cancel each other out. Worry reduces praying, and praying reduces worry. So how can we reduce our worry and increase our trust in God? How can we worry less and pray more? Is that just something that certain people are good at and others are bad at it? How do we learn to not be anxious about anything? Here are four things that Jesus said which should be helpful to us. First, we need to recognize that worry is a waste of time. Matthew 6, verse 27, Jesus asked, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? That question puts anxiety in perspective. Worrying never solved a problem. Worry never dried a tear. Worry never removed an obstacle. Worry has never made bad things good. It has never made good things better. Worry is like cultivating and watering ground where you haven't planted any seed. You've wasted water, time, and energy, and you still have nothing to show for your efforts. Worry is a waste of time. Second, we need to trust God to take care of our needs. In Matthew 6, verses 31 through 33, Jesus said, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Jesus says that worry is unworthy of the subjects of such a kingdom. Worry, anxiety, is unworthy of the children of God. This concern about things is what occupies the minds of the heathen, the worldly, the unbelievers. Does it occupy our minds too? In verse 32 from the Contemporary English Version, Jesus said, only people who don't know God are always worrying about such things. As Jesus had done moments earlier, He chides His hearers with being no better in their behavior than the heathen peoples, the pagans, the unbelievers. He had previously said in chapter 5, verse 47, if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the Gentiles do so? And in chapter 6, verse 7, He said, when you pray, Do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do. The heathen, the Gentiles, in their darkness had food and clothing as their paramount interest. These things dominated their minds. These things controlled their thinking and their lives. These unbelievers knew nothing about a gracious, kind, loving, benevolent God. They saw life as a matter of blind chance. They saw life as a matter of unalterable fate. Their anxiety for things, for stuff, their concern for physical concerns, was altogether consistent with their worldview. What else was there? But to think that Christians should find no more peace of mind than those who were without hope and without God in the world, as Paul said in Ephesians 2, verse 12, that is both unthinkable and shameful. The psalmist said in Psalm 55, verse 22, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. There is a sense in which all men, down to the most godless, are more important to God than birds and flowers. But Jesus is not addressing that here in Matthew 6, in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is speaking only to those who are God's children, not merely in creation, but in redemption. And so he is saying, you are God's very own people. How can you be so anxious and troubled? God has promised to take care of us. Our job is to let him. Worry puts us on the same level as a pagan. So when we worry, we are not acting like children of God. We're acting like unbelievers. Third, we need to make sure we put the Lord first in our lives. In Matthew 6, verse 33, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Someone has said, well, Jesus made these statements 2,000 years ago. In today's world, it can be very difficult to make the Lord our first priority. Well, I submit to you that it's always been difficult to put the Lord first in one's life. It sets a person at odds with the world. It has always been a challenge to make the Lord the number one priority. The world has always been in competition with those who value spiritual things. Fourth, we need to determine to live one day at a time. In Matthew 6, verse 34, Jesus said, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Spurgeon said, anxiety does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It only empties today of its strength. The writer E. Stanley Jones said, worry is the interest we pay on tomorrow's troubles. I know that people are cut out differently. Some people are just naturally nervous. Some people are just naturally laid back. God will judge each person based on his or her abilities, based on how they handle what they've been given. Sometimes we know that God can and will supply all our needs, but we still worry. Some people beat themselves up, and they will beat themselves up when they hear a message like this. They think they are a failure because they struggle with trusting God. What's the remedy for that? On a pragmatic level, there are some things we can learn to apply in spite of our proclivities, regardless of our natural tendencies. First, you can increase your trust in God by getting to know him, by spending time in his word. 1 Peter 2 verse 2 says, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Consider reading through the Gospels. It will strengthen your confidence in how God cares for you. It will increase your understanding of what he did for you. The second thing we can do to increase our trust in God is to realize what God knows. In Matthew 10, verses 29 and 30, Jesus said, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worthy. You are worth more than many sparrows. You need to know that God knows you. God understands you. He knows your struggles. He knows your weakness. He knows your frailties. And God loves you. The Father knows the human tendency to fret, to fear, to be anxious, to worry. He cares for you. And that brings us to the third thing we can do to increase our trust in God, and that is to, again, spend more time in prayer. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. The last two points are underscored in the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Here's a portion of that song. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Do we have trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Satan cares little as to whether we are consumed with greed or obsessed by worry, as long as our minds are set on the cares of this world rather than on God. The consequences of such worldly anxiety are not just spiritually regrettable. They can be fatal. We can overcome worry only when we surrender our will to God's will, when we come to terms with who God is and with the fact that He cares for us. Anxiety is often about who is in charge. It's often about who is in control. When you worry, when you fret, you intrude into the area of the Father. In our vernacular, we might say that the Father's response is, you let me worry about that. Let me take care of that. Psalm 9, verse 9 says, the Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Psalm 46, verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Worry is an intrusion into God's providence. We need to accept the fact that God is in charge and we are not. And that should bring comfort. The fact that God is in charge should reduce or eliminate entirely all trepidation, all worry, all fear. Victor Hugo said, "Have courage for the great difficulties of life, and have patience for the small ones. And when you have finished your day, go to sleep in peace, knowing that God is always awake." That's another way of saying, no matter what happens or is happening in my world, God is still on the throne. In John 14, verse 1, Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." And that's the message this morning.